I'm Erica Tenquist from the Hawke's Bay Knowledge Bank, and I'm going to do an interview with Jean Elizabeth Knight, who lives at Hastings. And the date today is the 7th of March 2018. Now, over to you, Jean.
I am Jean Knight, and I was brought up in a country town.
Which town was it?
Puketapu, mainly. I was born in Dannevirke, and then was brought down to Hawke's Bay, down to Puketap when I was 3 years old, and I lived out in Puketap till I was 13, and then came to Hastings and went to 1 year high school and left there and went to Te Uri as a land girl and spent 18 months out there, came back to town and became a shop assistant at Sutcliffe's Music Store. I had softball as my sport. I was in the girls' brigade. That was about my lot as far as sports went.
Te Uri, where is that?
Te Uri is out past Normanville, and it was called Te Uri Farm. And my father and I both went together out there. He became a shepherd and I became a land girl. And he took sick and had to come back to town. I went back and worked there for a little while longer. He came back after 6 weeks and he told me it was time I came back to town. I think he was sick and couldn't do the job. So I came back to town with him.
And then where did you meet Owen?
I started at Sutcliffe's when I came back into town, and he used to come in and buy his reeds for his saxophone and his music, and I would sell it to him. And then when he turned 21, he walked into the shop and bought himself a brand new saxophone, and I shook his hands and wished him happy birthday. And about a month or 6 weeks later, Mr. Sutcliffe went down and asked Owen if he would work for them. So he came and worked with us, and it took him about 2 or 3 months before he asked me out. So so that's how I met him.
Excellent. Sutcliffe's was a music shop.
It was, yeah.
And where was it at that
stage? It was a very narrow shop next to where the State Theatre was. There was a State Theatre, a jeweller shop, and then there was Sutcliffe's, and then there was MacReady's. And we stayed there. We built a new building in 1956 where we finished. We sold the building in the end, and BJ's now is in there.
Did you buy it from Sutcliffe's?
Sutcliffe's, there was Mr. Barden and Mr. Sutcliffe in business together when I started. And Mr. Mullaney, John Mullaney, was a tuner, and he finally bought some shares in the building and the business. And as Mr. Sutcliffe passed away, we bought some shares, Owen and I, and then we bought some from Mr. Barden, and John Mullaney and Owen were then
the owners.
Business together, yeah.
Where were you living at that stage?
We were living in Caroline Road, just out of the borough. We bought a house just out of the borough. And it was very pleasant down there because there was empty paddocks. It suited me very nicely with sheep in it. Yeah, so we lived in Caroline Road, which is quite handy too, to town, mind you.
And you had the two children?
We had two girls, Kim and Carrie, and they grew up from Mayfair School and then the girls' high school. And they worked in Hastings most of their time before they were married. My youngest daughter went to Auckland for a while, but finally came back here. Yeah.
And did they become part of the business at all?
No, they weren't interested.
So then you started off at the Mayfair, did you?
Yes, the 10 o'clock closing came, and Mr. Franson asked Owen if he would organise some music for the Mayfair at night. It was only, I think, Thursday, Friday and Saturday in those days. And so my husband had a band called the Blue Revelers, and he started playing there every week. And that was very good. Got crowds of people because they loved music. Then we decided to have artists come.
How much would they have to pay the patrons?
They didn't pay anything to come in.
They just bought their drinks at the bar.
Yep.
Did they have food as well?
No. No, they could buy chippies, of course, and things like that if they wanted them, but we didn't have food. It was in the big carousel room.
And what year would that be?
It was in the 1970s, and we went through to somewhere in the 80s. I'm not too sure just the dates of that, unfortunately. But and we were there probably about 12 years doing that. And then, of course, we wanted to get artists in from other towns, and So Mr. Franson got together with, I think it was Selwyn Cushing and Owen and himself, and we started up Night Entertainment. I didn't want to go to work because I had children at school, and he said I could have my office at home. Oh. So I worked at home, and I booked local bands to different functions here, weddings, 21st and things like that, and also got the artist in for the Mayfair Hotel for the weekend. They were only there then at that stage, the Friday and Saturday night as well. And then we would also sell them to the Top Hat in Napier.
So you arranged for them as well?
So we had them come to the Mayfair, do their little bit at the Mayfair, then Owen and I'd get in the car and take them to Napier, to the Top Hat, and come back and drop them at the Mayfair to go to bed.
So Mr. Franson would have organised the accommodation for them?
Yeah, they all stayed at the Mayfair Hotel.
And did you get paid for taking them
car? No, we just did it.
Did your children have part in any of this?
Yes, they used to come and meet them on the weekends, quite often the likes of Craig Scott and some of the others that were more just everyday type of people. They would come around home, like Maria Dallas. I used to do her hair every day for her.
Lovely.
Those things, you know. It was like a family, really. Yeah, we were pretty good.
And what about that other lady, Eliza?
Eliza Kyle?
Yes.
No, I didn't have a great deal to do with her, just the normal at the hotel. But a lot of them came round home. Robert Gennari would come to town with me if I was going to town. They were all everyday people.
And happy?
Happy people.
Did they get paid a fee?
Yes, we actually paid for their fare down here on the plane. I would go and pick them up and bring them to the hotel for practice before they went on. And then I would run them back on the Sunday to the airport and put them on the plane to go back to Auckland or Wellington, wherever they came from.
Have you any recollection of how much the fare then would be?
No, I haven't. What a shame. These are all local boys, these ones. Yes.
Did they all play in the band at the same time?
There was a few actors in this one. These two boys played with Owen every night at the Mayfair. The drummer isn't in sight here at the moment, but this one is from the Blossom Festival, which was taken in the street, down by Bon Marche somewhere, I think. And they're all dressed up in sort of different types of clothes and different makeup. Now, there's three of his band members in this. The rest of them were fill-ins that played with Owen from time to time. We just made up a band to play for the festival,
And that would be about 72?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. I've got a lot of movies of the Blossom Festivals with these guys playing, but that's the only one I've got still of them.
To go back to the Mayfair, the entertainers coming in, how often would you be entertaining? Every week?
Every week we got an entertainer in, different entertainer. It was a busy life. We had to arrange a rehearsal for them, and that was a bit hard because the boys all worked here, but we did manage to do that, and we usually did it on a Sunday. I'd drop one lot to put them on the plane in the morning to go back to Auckland, and I'd go back in the afternoon and pick up the next lot.
And the Top Hat, who was running the Top Hat at Napier at that stage?
Bernie Meredith. Yes, we used to sell them to him for the Saturday night.
You said you were organising their entertainment for weddings and 21sts and things. Where would most of it be held? Would it be in the Mayfair?
No, different halls, different places altogether.
Can you tell us a couple of the most favourite ones?
Well, we're going back. Because the Premier Hall was here, there was the Oddfellows Hall, there was the Labour Hall, all those type of halls that some wedding dances were held at. Then some of them were held at their own place in a marquee, so that was quite a...
And would you have been paid what you would call today well?
I don't know. I don't know whether we worried about what we were paid as we paid. Actually, the people paid me for the band, and then I paid the band. So we'd make, I don't know, 10 or 20%. I really can't remember what I did. We did make on something. Each, yes. Organising it was in the fee.
And to go back to Owen, where did he grow up?
He was born in New Plymouth and came to Hawke's Bay when he was 14. And he didn't go back to school. He went straight to an orchard and worked. And when he was 18, he wanted to play the saxophone. And his parents weren't that very well off and couldn't afford a saxophone. Mm. So he rented one and went to Sid Carmel, which was a great musician, and he taught him how to play the saxophone. He lived at Bridge Park, a very, very well-known gentleman, very nice guy. And by the time, oh, I suppose 3 months, Owen was out playing in a band.
As quick as that?
Mm-hmm.
He must have had that, didn't
he? He had music running through his body. Mm. Never failed to pick up the instrument any day. If he didn't, he was sick. It was in his body.
So the saxophone was the main thing?
That's what he started on, and he played that beautifully. He did then go to clarinet and played both, but in the end he sold his saxophone and just played clarinet.
What about you for music?
I'm not musical, but when I started at Sutcliffe's, of course, I had to learn a little bit about music. I was very shocked that I got the job because I had no music in my blood. I wasn't brought up with music. And right, I got to work and I went through all the music and learnt what keys were what keys. I had an old piano at home that was there when we bought this house in Hastings, and I used to take a sheet of music home at night and pick out the notes. And I got to know when a teacher came and she wanted it in C, I could tell her what it was. So I learnt that way, but I never played an instrument.
What about singing?
To myself.
And what about the girls?
Him has got a beautiful voice, but she won't go and join anything.
And Perry?
No.
So it hasn't gone on. But it might. Have you got grandchildren?
Grandchildren, and I've got great-grandchildren. So we're hoping some of them might pick up, yeah.
Right, well, I started at Sutcliffe's, coming home from the farm there, very green. There was only one other lady in the shop, and that was Molly Hickey, who worked in the office. And there was two men behind the counters and the two bosses. Mm. And that was it, Barty and Mr. Sutcliffe. And I started in the record department, and they were 78s in those days. Put the old needle over the thing. And I got to know different singers. Being out on a farm, you don't hear a lot of music. So I was sort of a bit green in that sort of way. But I soon picked up different singers, what sort of singers they were, what they sang. Then I moved into the office and did some office work with Molly, and we got another lady in the record department. And then I decided I'd like to learn about music, and that's when I went out and got the sheet music and kept up with music. Owen had started while I was in the office. Then he was in the musical instrument department, and I went to the music department. And Mr. Barden helped me along with the music. He was very good. And I soon learnt keys, what they were in and what they weren't in. And I could tell if someone was out of tune on the piano, things like that. So it was good. And then they decided they needed a bigger shop. So 1956, they bought Band, which was a taxi stand between the two banks, the Bank of New Zealand and the one that was on the corner. They bought that land and they built a building there. And then we had to get more staff, of course, because the building was huge.
There must have been a real interest in music in this area.
We were flat out all the time with music teachers, people wanting musical instruments. We sent music away to different towns, even down south. People would send to us for music. So we were very busy there. So we got two other girls in, one for the music department, another one for the record department. I helped out in the office. I could then do every department because I had gone through. So I was called into any place that needed it. And then, of course, when I got married, I gave up work. And
did you give up work straight away?
No, when I started having children. First child, I said no, I wasn't going to work. So I stayed home till they went to work.
Mm. That's unheard of now.
I know, but I wanted to be with my children. And then I went back, and that's where I stayed till I retired.
Marvellous.
Right, now I'm going to talk about my craft life. At 8 years old, when I was at Pukitep School, a teacher started there called Phyllis Steele. And some unknown reason, she picked on me and got me to do some sewing. And every spare moment between school classes and things, she would grab me and we'd bits of pieces of sewing, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I didn't realise that I had it in me. And then on school holidays, she would take me home to her place in Hastings in Charles Street, And for 3 days, we'd do nothing but sew.
Goodness, then what
she
sort?
Then she would take me home smocking, crocheting, every type of craft that you can think of, she taught me. And then she'd take me back to the farm for the rest of the holidays. So this happened just about every holiday. She would bring me home here to her place. And from that day on, by the time I was 12, I was making clothes for myself and my sisters. My mother was not a sewer. She was a darner and a mender, but she never sewed. She did fancy work, but we never picked it up from her. It was just one of those things. We knitted. She taught me to knit, my mother. So from that day on, I kept my hands busy with craft. And as I got older, I got more involved in cross stitch, all that type of work, black stitch, black work. And so I started putting it in the show, and I won top prizes. And I was feeling quite proud of myself. Didn't realise it was as good as what it was. So I really did thoroughly enjoy my craft, and I don't think I spent a day without my craft in my hands.
Did you teach it to other people?
Yes, I run, at the moment, I still do it. I run a craft group, and anybody who wished to learn any type of craft, I hand them to whoever does the best work in that field. And I still do it, even though my eyesight's so good and I don't do it myself now, I still run that craft group.
And did it extend to making most of your family's clothes?
I did all my family's clothes. I made all my own clothes. I made my sister's clothes when we were home. When I got married, my daughters never had a sport dress till they went to work. Their underwear was even made till they went to school. They didn't like homemade underwear when they got to school. Yes, I never made men's shirts or anything. I just kept the ladies. I made my daughter's wedding gown and things like that.
Did you go into decoration of cakes and things like that?
Just
crafts?
And wool crafts, yes. Yeah. I enjoyed it very much, and of course my husband was very keen on my work. He made sure everybody saw everything that I made. He was quite impressed, I think. So it was nice to feel he enjoyed it too.
How many years were you married?
58 years.
So any other subject we should touch on? You're going to come back with a bit more on the Blossom Festival.
Yes, I'll come back with the Blossom Festival in Sutcliffe's. I think I've got more to say about Sutcliffe's too. I'm waiting to get some more information on that. And maybe my little life out at the farm and my animal life. I love animals.
So tell us a little bit about one of your favourite animals.
My favourite animal is a dog. Dog, horse. You don't make pets of horses, unfortunately, but I love them. They were my friend out on the farm because that's who you talk to out when you're riding around. You talk to your horse mainly. You're telling the dogs what to do, but you're talking actually to your horse, because the dogs were more working dogs when you're out on a farm rather than pets.
Did you go to shows and horse riding?
No, I didn't go to any. We never missed a show. All our life, I don't think we missed a show till the last few years here.
And you came here, you and Owen?
In 2000. Yeah. And we had sold our house in Havelock, and we had nowhere to go, and we were going to rent. But unfortunately, I ended up in hospital and was on crutches. And Atkinson said I'd be on them for 2 years, so I said I'd better buy. So he bought this with the thoughts that if we didn't like it, we'd be leaving in 2 years. But we're still here. That's where we've stayed. So that was really my life. It was farm life mainly, I loved. And then when I got into town, I went to Sutcliffe's, and that was my two different lives.
The date today is the 28th of May 2018, and this is a second interview with Jean to cover other points that we didn't cover before.
Right. Well, I'll start with when my grandfather first came from England. He left England at the age of 23 with his wife of 20 on the 24th of September 1874. They arrived in Napier on January the 3rd, 1875. Now, Mr. Cooper, who owned Mount Erin Station in Havelock North, picked him up from the boat and took him out to his farm and gave him a job. He brought his wife with him, and they had three children. And Emma, the wife, died after the third child. Now, Henry remarried, and that would be my grandmother, in 1885, and she was Janet Carswell. And they had nine children, and my father was the eighth of the nine. And my father was born then on the 26th of April, 1901, and he died on the 30th of July, 1955. And my father was born at Mount Erin Station, actually, and he was called Frederick James Hogarth. He married my mother, was Evelyn Joyce Ireland, in 1930. And they had four daughters, me being the youngest. There was Margaret, Kathleen, Doreen, and myself, Jean. I was born on December the 16th, 1935, in Dannevirke. At that time, my father was managing a farm called Te Iri Farm. That's out the back of Dannevirke. Then I was 3 years old when we left Te Iri and went to Puketap Farm. Now, my father was brought back down there to look after the farm because Ewan Ballantyne, who owned it, was going to war. And Lou Harris was in charge of looking after the farm, but he put my father into working it.
And is that the big house?
No, that's the smaller home. And then Lou Harris coming down to the farm could see my father apparently did a good job, so he wanted him to come and be manager at Brooklyn Station. So he went and got another fellow to look after Mr. Ballantyne's farm and took Dad up to Brooklyn Station, where we lived in this big home of 22 rooms. Only half furnished, of course. Couldn't afford to do the whole lot. That's how we got to Brooklyn Station, and we had an awful lot of fun up there. I started school while we were at Puketap Farm, and we walked 3 miles to school, and that was quite interesting because, you know, kids like leaves lying on the ground. You walk through the leaves, you walk in the gullies, and we had lots of laughs and fun walking that distance. But then when we went 5 miles, Brooklyn Station was 5 miles then from Puketap, Mr. Harris bought us a horse and gig. And us four girls, went to school in this gig. And we had fun, laugh, sings. We didn't care whether it rained or not. We were all in good weather gear and the old oilskins, and we were covered over, and we'd sing most of the way there and most of the way back. No, it was good fun. We always enjoyed going to school. Now, Brooklyn Station was a great place to live. It was a huge station, and I, of course, was very fond of my father, so I spent an awful lot of time with him, so I was out on the farm an awful lot. I didn't stay home and cook with Mum. I went out to the farm. And we'd get home from school, catch a horse, and Mum would say what paddock he was in, because they were all numbered. And off I'd go and spend the rest of the time with my father. That's why I didn't do any good at school. I didn't do my homework. I was too busy out there with the animals and all. So that was my life up there, and it was really good fun. I think even my whole family, my sisters and all, they just loved being out there. Great life, yes. And then all my sisters, of course, went to high school, and they were boarding in town. And so when it was my turn, my father said it was time that he gave up the farm life and came into town, and so I didn't have to go on board anywhere. He bought a house in Hastings, and I went to high school for 1 year, but unfortunately I didn't like town. He didn't like town. So after I'd finished my year at high school, he decided he'd go back out to Te Iri Farm and get a shepherd's job. And I asked him to see if they wanted a land girl, because I'll come too. So yes, they'd take a land girl.
How old were you when you left school then?
16. So off I went to Te Iri Farm with my dad, and I became a land girl. And they had a house out the back of the farm which had never been lived in, so they let us have that. And 6 months later, my uncle and aunt, my father's sister, came out and asked if we'd like them to come and live with us so they could do the housework and the cooking and leave me to go out and do the work. and it was absolutely wonderful. I had the whole day then, didn't have to worry about having to cook meals or anything. So that's where we stayed for, I'd say, 18 months or something. I can't quite remember exactly how long it was. It was about 18 months. My father took sick, and I think he wanted to come back too because he couldn't manage the work. So I agreed to come home with him. And that's when I got to Sutcliffe's Music Store. And the Sutcliffe's Music Store was then a long, narrow shop beside the State Theatre. And I went for an interview there, not having any music in my body or anything, but I liked music, but I didn't have to play any musical instrument. And I thought I'd have a try and see if I could get in there. They took me. So I started there on the record department, and they were only 78s in those days. And that was quite interesting. I learned quite a bit more about music being there. I had to sort of go down to the music department at times and get a read for somebody who was playing a saxophone or something. So I learned all that at the same time as working in the record department. And then after a little while, I went to the office and we got another young lady in to do the record department called Jeanette Burgess. I was interviewed by Mr. Sutcliffe and Mr. Barden when I went for my job. Mr. Sutcliffe owned it, Mr. Barden was managing it, and Mrs. Hickey was in the office. Mr. Barden used to look after the music department as well, and the pianos and all that sort of thing, and Mr. Sutcliffe sold pianos as well. And that was all that was working there when I went there.
What year was that?
53, I think it was, around 53. And then I went to the office, as I said, and worked there with Molly Hickey. And the next thing, Owen Knight was asked to come and work at Sutcliffe's Music Store. And Owen used to come in and buy his reeds, and I'd go down and serve him and sell him music as well. But I didn't know him really very well then, but just as a musician, I knew he came in. Then he came in when he turned 21, and I shook his hand and wished him a happy birthday, and he bought himself a new saxophone. So that's when Mr. Sutcliffe said, I think we should ask him to come and work here. He knows music and he's a pretty good musician. So he went down, yes, he came to work there. So that was it. He was working next to me.
What had he been doing up till then?
He was working in a grocery shop, believe it or not, down in the corner of Frederick Street and Currumbin Road. So that's where we stayed for the rest of our lives. At Sutcliffe's Music Store.
Because you bought it in time.
We were shareholders. Ended up three shareholders in the end when we sold it. Then in 1956, Mr. Sutcliffe decided to build his own building. There's a taxi stand between two buildings up in the next block. I can't think. There was a bank on the corner. There was a taxi stand. And then there was the New Zealand Bank. Yeah, that's right. Between the two banks. And he built the building. And it was two-storied. And that's where we shifted in the end of 1956, towards the end of the year, we moved into that shop. We had to get more staff, of course, because it was quite a big shop. Mm. And John Mullaney, of course, was a piano tuner, but he became a shareholder as well. And then Owen, of course, bought shares. So there was Mr. Barton, Mr. Mullaney, and Owen, all shareholders in the end, because Mr. Sutcliffe by this time had died. At least he saw his new shop.
And your father had died too.
Yeah, he died in 1955. So then by this time Owen and I were going together, of course, and we got married in 1957, and I decided I'd look for another job. Seeing how we were married, we better not work together, you know. But anyway, I didn't bother working, but a month later I got pregnant, so I decided not to work at all. So I stayed home. And then I just went back if they needed someone in the shop. And then I went back to train new girls coming along that came into the shop and that sort of thing until the children were at work, and then I went back to work again. And
now,
I worked till we retired.
You know the book that you put together from Sutcliffe's collection. Can you describe what that had?
Well, I think it started with photos. I have got a few of the photos here. Of the windows dressed in the old shop. And of course, if there was a hit, of a song that came out. It might last for a year or 2 years, that hit. So you made a big fuss of that tune, where today there's no hits come out like that, you know. And so you can't sort of dress the window like today. You wouldn't be able to dress the window like that. So that's the difference in the age, the times, how they change.
Would you get window dresses in, or would you
no,
do it?
No, Mr. Barden did them. 1 year at Blossom Week, I spent a lot of time making blossoms, and we did a grand piano out of cardboard and put blossoms right over it, and we made a set of drums the same way. So I got photos of that one too. But no, he was a good window dresser, Mr. Barden, and he would make a real big fuss of one particular song if it came out and it was a big hit, you know. And we had a great staff. We had three that worked for 30 years for us, the staff. It was Robert Filton, yeah. Shirley Kyle.
And are any of them alive now?
Not Shirley, Robert is, and Michael Deslins, who is still alive. Shirley's the only one that's not alive now. They were great workers. Nothing was any trouble to them. They'd work on if there was a purpose of working on. When Saturday opening came, Michael always said he'd come back. He liked working on a Saturday, you know. So it was always Owen, Michael and I that worked on a Saturday. And Christmas time we worked towards the end. We opened 7 days a week, as you know, and of course it was always Michael, Owen and I that were there on a Sunday as well.
What was the name of the third man?
Robert Filton.
Mm-hmm. Do either of Michael or Robin live locally?
Yes, they both live locally.
Because they might have a copy.
Well, they haven't got it either. No. I've tried them too, so no. Yes.
So when did you actually sell the shop?
Oh, now you've got me. We were retired and we sold the business to David Atkins and Michael Deslins, and they carried on for a few years and then they shut the shop, and we held the building for a few years, and somewhere in about the 2000s we sold the building and were out of it altogether then. Now I shall talk about my sports and interests I had in my lifetime. When I came back to town, I went into softball and played softball here for quite a few years. And then I got into craft, and all types of craft. I did knitting, crocheting, cross-stitch, hardanger, you name it, I tried it, backstitch. And I loved it, I loved it. And I went to a craft group, which had teachers at that stage, and it was very interesting. And then, of course, the government stopped the teaching side of it, so they left and we were left to ourselves. This is at St. Matthew's drop-in craft group, and the girls wanted to keep going, so I went and had some inquiries about whether we could still use the hall. And yes, they said, please yourself, you can use the hall if you like. So who's going to take over? It was left to me, so I'm still at this stage running the craft at St. Matthew's drop-in. I'm not doing any more craft myself. I am knitting for overseas, it's called Mission Without Borders. It's for the 6 Eastern countries, and it's quite a big concern in New Zealand, and my neighbour and I are in charge here at Hawke's Bay doing the collection.
And do you send the things overseas? Twice a year?
Once a year, every July, a container full goes over from all over New Zealand. We have a meeting in Waipokarau. That's our headquarters here for Hawke's Bay. And once a year, we collect everybody's stuff. Helen and I take up everything that's been down in this area to Waipokarau, and all of it is put into one truck and taken off to Auckland, where it is baled and pressed and put into containers and taken over to Holland and so on.
Do you do some for the premature babies and things like that?
We have ladies at our craft that do for the premature babies at hospital. What we don't send overseas, we give to either the women's refuge or the hospitals around here. Last year, a bale of clothing went up to the Wairau Hospital. That's what they were needing. So every year we give something to the locals here from what comes in. So that's all I can do these days. I don't do any cross-stitching. Unfortunately, my eyesight is no good anymore. And that is why I've just gone back to knitting.
Thank you, Jean.
You're welcome.